Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
We've been talking about the dark night of the soul, and that is a time when you feel like you are separated from God, when everything has gone wrong, and you feel like there's no hope, no way out.
And you would think that Jesus never went through that, but as a child, you know, Matthew tells us that he went through some hard times. His parents didn't know exactly what to do.
That's right. In fact, there was a time when Herod wanted to kill Jesus when he was just an infant.
Yes.
And they provided a way of escape, but even that way of escape was kind of a separation from the things that he knew and he loved and the people that he should be growing up with, right?
That's right. And you remember that we have been going through the infancy narrative of Jesus in Matthew,
right.
And how for Matthew, number 5 is such an important number because mm-hmm. he's trying to show that Jesus is a new and greater Moses, and you know, Moses has the 5 books of the Torah.
That's right.
And so he divides the infancy in five actual mm-hmm.
segments
that have to do with the Old Testament. And we're on the third one right here.
That's
it's
right.
Verse 13 to 15. You want to read it, Mike?
Yes, it says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. He stayed where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'"
Okay, that's a great prophecy that we're going to see today, "Out of Egypt I called my son," that actually related originally to the people of Israel.
That's right. And what this picks up when the Magi had left.
Yes.
All right, they had visited and they'd been told, "Don't go back to Herod."
Actually, they had a dream because this is the beauty about this infancy narrative is mm-hmm. that every segment of the five, except one, and that's Herod slaughtering mm-hmm. the babies, mm-hmm. Every segment has dreams because God is actually in control of the whole plan and he's communicating every step of the way.
That is exciting.
So, yes, very exciting. Uh-huh. And so here, Joseph gets a dream again. You know, mm-hmm. he's been accustomed to that by now.
That's right.
And he says, "Look, you guys, you are in the wilderness of the soul right now. You don't know what to do, but I'm going to direct you."
That's right. Get out of here. Go to Egypt. But even the way of escape from Herod's wrath turned out to be a bit of a dark night of the soul for them because they are separated from family.
That's right.
Jesus is now growing up in a foreign land among people he does not know, waiting for King Herod to die.
We don't even know how long they stayed in Egypt because the Bible doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does say that eventually they were told to come back.
Right.
So we're going to look a little bit about what is the context of the people of Israel leaving Egypt.
And then we're
going to go to the actual prophecy quoted here.
Now we find that context in Exodus 14, don't we?
Yes. You know, Exodus 14 became a very important chapter for me in my life when I was going through my darkness mm-hmm. of my soul. And one day I went to a mentor and he said, "I'm going to read to you verses 13 and 14.
Right.
Now today we're going to read that, but maybe before we do, you might want to be reminded that these people were terrified for what was happening. Mm-hmm. They had just left Egypt after 400 years of slavery.
400 years that they've been living under those kind of conditions. You know, I thought that God was slow in answering my prayers. But 400 years to answer a prayer of his people.
Yeah, that's a little long.
Yeah, that is a little bit long, I would think.
You know, actually, God even knew that because mm-hmm. when he gave the covenant to Abraham back in Genesis 15,
mm-hmm.
he says, the people are going to be their slaves for 400 years.
Right.
But then after that, I'm going to do this great deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, they left Egypt, but they are in a hopeless situation on verse 10 and 11. They're mm-hmm. terrified.
Right.
Because they have the sea in the front, two big mountains on the sides, mm-hmm. and Pharaoh on their back.
That's right.
You know, and
no
so,
way out.
No way out. And maybe you find yourself today in one of those hopeless and helpless situations where you feel that you're just trapped.
That's right. I mean, these people were slaves. That's enough right there. That would be better enough.
That would be better enough.
But now they're facing the possibility of imminent destruction from the greatest army on earth at that time, and
that is
Pharaoh's army, right?
Yes, and they're actually, the Bible says they're terrified. They're so frightened, says verse 10, that they're like, you know, why did you bring us here to die?
That's right.
So we're going to pick it up on verse 13, which is the direct answer from God.
"Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still.
You know, this is quite a, this is one of those challenges for me. It's like, here's the job description. God fights. Right. You keep silent.
Yeah, that's right. And that's not an easy thing for either of us to do because both of us like to talk, I
know. That's right. And be in control, remember?
That's right. We are control freaks.
Mm-hmm.
But here, God is the one who's in control. He is the one who is saying, shut up, stand still, be quiet.
That's right.
Get out of my way. Watch me work.
And as you know, that it was a mighty deliverance.
That's right.
One of the greatest miracles that we have in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
God parted the sea.
The Red Sea, that's right.
The Red Sea that has been known to be the Red Sea. Actually, mm-hmm. the Hebrew says the Sea of Reeds.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they are delivered. They're redeemed from slavery. So when Matthew is looking for a prophecy to show a multiple mm-hmm. fulfillment to, mm-hmm. he goes to one of the prophets that actually talk about when they came out of Egypt.
That's right. He's reviewing this, the deliverance from Egypt. And this is Hosea in chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son.
This is God yearning for Israel. And, you know, they're in trouble at the moment of Hosea's writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is saying, I love this people since they were little kids, you know. Mm-hmm. They're like when the nation was a child.
That's right.
I love them. And out of Egypt, I called them.
That's right.
They're my son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this brings me to a really important topic in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, I know it's the kinsman redeemer, right?
That's right. The kinsman redeemer in the Hebrew, for those of you that are interested, the word is goel. You know, like Noel, but with a G.
Yeah, goel. That's right.
And the goel was the closest of kin.
Mm-hmm.
And the goel was the one that had some specific roles. They were the ones that would do at least three very important roles. We have a lot more in Leviticus. You remember some of them?
Yeah, that's right. Another, if you were in slavery, mm-hmm. the next of kin, the kinsman redeemer, the goel, would bail you out of slavery. They would purchase you back from slavery.
That's right. And they also would be the ones that would go and buy the land back if you had to give the family land.
That's right. Every family had a stake in Palestine. Every family had a family parcel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happened to lose that...
That's right. The kinsman redeemer could come and pay that price and redeem you. See,
that's right.
The redeeming... word is more of a coming out of slavery, paying the price.
Right.
It's actually a slavery word.
That's right.
You know? And there's many other roles that the kinsman redeemer had.
The avenger of blood. So in other words, if someone murders a family
that's
member.
That's right. He would avenge the blood. He mm-hmm. would be the one that would give the sentence to a dead brother.
That's right. You remember Jesus was asked about the woman who married seven brothers and mm-hmm. none of them gave her children. So whose wife
would
she
and this
be
is where the story of Tamar that we saw in the first chapter comes in Genesis 38.
It has to do with dead
that.
Brothers and other brothers redeming by raising up children
that's
in
right.
that man's name.
And the whole book of Ruth is with this concept of kinsman redeeming.
That's right.
But this is what is very exciting. God says he is our redeemer. This is the word redeemer that you constantly see, for example, mm-hmm. in the prophet Isaiah.
Right.
Is this goel. I have goeled you.
That's
do
right.
not fear. I have called you by name. You're mine.
That's right.
So Jesus eventually fulfills all the roles of the goel.
And the last one of those roles, by the way, is to appear in your place in court.
Yes, they could legally appear in your place.
They legally appear for your place. And that's, again, that goes right back to Jesus being the one who stands in our place in judgment.
That's right.
He's judged, not us, because we trust in him, right?
That's right. And this
so
is the amazing...
That's part of his being our goel.
That's right. And the amazing thing about this concept, check this out, I get so excited about this, is that we can never separate the concepts of creation and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God creates us in his image...
That's right.
He obligates himself to a rescue package because he's our closest of kin.
He's family. We're all family.
Yes. It's like you don't need an instruction book if your kids fall into the pool.
You just dive in, right?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do now? Excuse me. Let me go get the manual.
Can I look this up on the internet? Let's Google this now. What do I do next, huh?
See, God dove into the pool through the whole plan of salvation.
That's right.
Because we failed and we were his kids.
That's right.
He was the closest of kin.
And the natural thing for a parent to do is to rescue the child. And that's the kinsman redeemer. Closest of kin, I'm going to take care of you no matter what the problem.
That's right. And one of the issues that Matthew wants to present so that we come to understand who Jesus is he has Jesus reliving the life of Israel.
That's right.
All of it. And so he's starting to tell the story as if Israel was starting again now in Jesus.
That's right.
You know, as a representative.
Using Hosea's prophecy referring to Egypt and to Israel. Israel coming out of Egypt, he's saying, Jesus is coming out of slavery. He's bringing you out of slavery. That's he's going right. back, reliving what Israel did in order to redeem you
That's right.
from and, your slavery.
And this is wonderful because it's not only the big plan of salvation, the big topic, but God still says that to us in our current slavery, not
That's
just
right.
slavery from sin, but just, I mean, whatever slavery you find yourself, something that oppresses you, that you feel you're in the darkness of the soul because you're being oppressed, even by your own doing.
That's right.
God says, look, I want to get you out of there.
That's right.
I'm your redeemer.
The kinsman redeemer would redeem you even if it was your fault that you were in trouble.
Oh, that's the beauty of it.
That, I mean, that like, is the beauty of
if,
it.
If you see a child and you're a parent, I mean, Mike,
right.
you have those, you know, kids. And,
that's
and
right.
I have five step grandchildren that aren't coming now. I
oh
have
my.
Two more on the way, yeah.
You're much too young for that kid.
Yeah, really? And so here we have, you know, you always know they're your family.
That's
so you're going to do this.
You will do this. And God will do that for us. What he's telling us here is you are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, blood of my blood. If you're in trouble, I'm there for you. That is the message that we find in this story, this little story of Jesus going into Egypt. He will redeem you.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.